I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. But we're talking about membership and like-mindedness. I kind of set it up without you knowing last week, because last week the question was, are you an outsider or an insider, right? We talked about you got to really live it, you got to be real. This week the question is, are you a fit for this church? Have you, I found a fit. Have you noticed, I'm just curious, have you noticed how many folks we have been welcoming aboard the old membership lately? Have you noticed? It's like there was a period of Sundays there where every week it was one or two new members. It was just, I don't know what's in the water, but all of a sudden there's a lot of questions coming to us. How do I join? How do I join? And why should I join? Why do you join a church? And I mean, they've been coming frequently, and so I thought, okay, we're in some little season here. We better talk about what's entailed in sinking our roots into this corner of God's kingdom. Some of you know the answer to this. You know where we are. You know where we are, in my old backyard, literally. Literally, you are in. Pops ran the wrecking yard. I lived in that house. Oh, all on my own, not really. That's where my family lived. And this was our backyard. I was 2 when we moved into this tiny house. You know, I could have chose a lot of pictures. I love this picture of me. It looks like it's straight out of a horror film. Right? That's just cute little me in front of the youth house. We moved our tiny house in a wrecking yard that was on the corner of Pease Road out here, an old 99 at the time. Now, our little house has Pops and me. Yeah, isn't that cool? Pops was here first service, and we were having a moment. Our little house is now the youth house. That's my sister and old Duke. Duke's long gone now. But our house is now the youth house. And I'll tell you, when I was in my teens, I couldn't wait to get off this. Check out that hair. I couldn't wait to get off this corner and out into the real world. You know, Hollywood, here I come. Till I really tried it, you know? Finally, things built up, finally had a chance. Turns out, Hollywood and Vine wasn't my kind of corner. Yeah, that's Ken. That's me. And that's a very young Matt Damon. It's just me and Ken. But it turns out, here's the thing. I just don't talk about this that much, but I want to show you a little video I don't think I've ever showed you before. It's a video Char took of Matt trying to introduce her to Ben while they were watching Ken and I be interviewed by Entertainment Tonight on a red carpet, which was actually green because it was for Project Greenlight. And just watch Matt. It's very short. It's very loud. You got to listen up. Matt cracks up because Char is not going to put down her video camera. She is meeting Ben Affleck, and she is not putting that camera down. So get ready because it goes quick and it's noisy.
Hi, this is Bruce's wife. This is Ben.
Hi, Ben.
It's a pleasure.
My kids for me, Keaton and Chef.
Keaton and Chez, hi, how you doing, guys? You having a good time? I'm sorry you couldn't make it down here.
We're watching your dad get interviewed by Entertainment Tonight.
Here he is on the green carpet.
So we had our chance, several of them, and we chose you. Well, it turns out Hollywood and Vine just is not my corner. We're going to go back in time now. You see, we tore down the old building back in 1976 in order to build a state-of-the-art auto-wrecking and recycling facility. That's the front counter, the new showroom, and that's Pops right in the middle, right in the mother's room. That's where that is. That's the mother's room. Now, Pops originally built that building on the right there, what would become the Ark. That's what's underneath the Ark. but he built it to restore and display his classic cars. We used to have tours going through here, and boy, we had some classics. And then, lo and behold, he won a national award for everything he had done to this wrecking yard. But then, he found the Lord. Then, he sold the cars. The PI even picked it up as a story, collector selling his old cars on the Lord's behalf. Then, we turned the wrecking yard into a church. You gotta get how weird this is. If this was your backyard and it was a wrecking yard, it's just weird. And then we built the ark. We wanted to attract kids to the Lord. And here we are. And here we are. And now, on our corner, God's kingdom. I wouldn't trade this corner for any other corner in the world.
Wow.
Wow is right. So many things to look at. That's us building the actual corner of the back of the ark. Anyway. Some wonder what the big deal is about joining a church, you know. Aren't all believers members in Christ? Yes, of course, obviously. But I want you to see this morning that Paul identifies in the New Testament two distinct types of Christian membership. In Romans here, Romans 12, he says, "We who are many," everyone around the world is a Christian. "We who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, members one of another," you know? And so, as one big body, you are fellow citizens with all God's people and members of God's huge household. And so, as members one of another, well, the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." You see, membership isn't about adding numbers to a register. I couldn't even tell you how many members we have. I don't know. I know how many people attend because you're important to me. And I love you guys. It ain't about adding numbers to a register. It is about linking up with like-minded believers. It's making a commitment. Instead of just living with the gal, I'm going to marry her. Which first requires identifying whether or not God is calling you to join forces with the like-minded believers on this corner of his huge household. Because you ever try forcing a puzzle piece into a place it didn't belong? We've all done that, right? Just gonna make it work. Even if you succeed, it only results in distorting the design. And that's not good for anybody. And pretty much all Christian churches in some form offer worship and fellowship and discipleship and ministry and evangelism. It's what we have in common. But the approaches differ significantly individually, right? We know that. And every believer must connect with what I'm going to call kindred Christians, like-minded believers, in order to grow toward a common goal. So the fundamental question isn't, how do I join? But are we a fit? And why would I? We'll answer that right now. That is because a unified church is a healthy church with a strong sense of direction. It is not about conformity, especially here. It's about unity. Linking arms, going the same direction. So I just want us to focus for a moment. I've taken some pages out of our membership manual. Focus on our God-given mission at his place, which is, and why don't you read it with me, to pursue ever-deepening devotion and spread authentic, joy-filled passion for God by modeling Jesus in a relevant fashion in Skagit Valley and beyond. That's it. That's our God-given mission right there. And boy, I'll tell you, we put so much time into every one of those words. We wanted to say exactly what we believe God is doing here. We chose words like pursue and ever deepening because devotion is not a destination. It is a day-to-day marathon. And if you've been walking with the Lord for any length of time, you get that. It's a marathon that requires support from those we are connected with and accountable to who treasure transparency and authenticity. As opposed to, hypothetically, a church where, say, masks are demanded and sin stays hidden in the dark. Because you're not here, because you know what grows in the dark? Fungus and moss. We're gathering no moss there. Because the fruit of the Spirit, read it with me, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Them's our marching orders right there. That's it. Paul labels these proofs. That's what they are. They're the evidence. They're the proofs of God's presence and power. And he calls them fruit because they naturally grow in hearts that sink their roots down deep into God's love and grace and word. Christ's body must reject an artificial heart. Too many of those going on in churches today. Because I'll tell you, few things are more repelling than plastic personalities, right? And few things are more compelling than the authentic, joy-filled passion of those who are humble and honest about themselves while being transformed, while being changed, putting it on display for everyone to see. You know, there's this farmer says to his veterinarian, my horse walks normal sometimes, but mostly limps. What should I do? And the vet says, next time it walks normal, sell it. Let's don't do that with Jesus, okay? Because that's way too common, you know, when I'm stumbling around, my walk isn't right, I don't really bring him up in conversation, I don't discuss him. But when things are going good and I'm walking well, then I try to sell him. That's not, you've got it upside down. You see, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise in their own eyes, the people. I can do it all. Just look at me. Don't want to look at the God who's changing you. So he chose foolish things to shame the wise. And God chose, get it, get this. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. But you can't do it all by your own power. And so we learn that, and we hopefully show that. You see, a weakness can be a great witness if it's coupled with humility, transparency, and authenticity, and transformation. You got to be growing. But you see, here's the thing. The better the singer, the less we relate. You get too good up here. It's like, I don't relate to that person. Till they make a mistake. Oh, baby, oh, baby. I tell our singers, because we got such good singers. We got such good performers up here. I tell them, those mistakes, I live for those. Those are the golden moments. Because that is when we all relate to the person rather than the persona. That's when you let us in. Oh, they're human. They are human. In the same way, your foolish mistakes, my foolish mistakes, our weaknesses allow others to relate to us. They give them an opportunity, a chance to watch God work. Don't take that from them. So I remember Paul was praying, God, take away all this stuff from me. And the Lord said to him, come on, my power is made perfect in your weakness. That's where my power shows if you're walking with the Lord and you're being transformed. Therefore, Paul said, okay, I will boast. I will boast. You know, in other words, I'm going to proclaim all of the things wrong with me. I will boast all the more gladly, and I'll be happy about it, about my weaknesses and my Jesus. So that Christ's power, so that people aren't going to look at me and go, wow, that guy's really something, huh? No, that way I tell about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. And it's like, yeah, he's getting it. When I'm weak, that's when I'm made strong. That's what people need to see. Therefore, if you, now this is to the body of Christ, this is to us. If you personally have any encouragement from being united with Christ, you know, don't hide it. If you have any comfort from the things you've done, you know, from his love, tell us about it. Make my joy complete, Paul says, by being like-minded. Let everybody know, being one in spirit and one of one mind, in humility. Because this encourages other people. So in humility, doing that, because it takes humility, value others above yourselves, above your own pride, like, oh, I don't want to show my mistakes. No, no, no. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others who need to see God working in you. Many ask about the benefits of membership. Benefits of membership. That's a weird question, really, because, see, the primary reason to join isn't to gain anything. It isn't to gain a personal advantage. It's to give something. It's to give a personal advantage. Because we're not joining a club. We're reinforcing and supporting one another. We're committing ourselves to being open and honest. Not only do you not need to wear a mask here, you better not wear a mask here. We love you for who you are. And we're all in the same boat. There's nobody here perfect. We can't be perfect, but we can be honest. Amen. Yeah. Amen. This means your fruit, whatever it is, your fruit are my benefits. And my fruit are your benefits. And did you notice how joy is second on Paul's list of proofs right after love? Love, joy. By definition, the word gospel is good news. And people who possess good news share it joyfully. It's good news. With enthusiasm, because it's good news, and without much effort. And that's why the joy of the Lord is your strength. And therefore, strength and gladness are in his place. Our membership manual, we wrote it to give us the words to help us express what we experience here. You can check it out at hisplacemembership.com. You might give it a week because we did a whole revamp and it's the old one's still online. We're waiting for it to update. But we finished it a couple months ago. We'll have to poke whoever we need to poke to get it updated online. But that's where it is, hisplacemembership.com. And whether someone reads it and says, wow, I want to be part of that. Or they read it and say, wow, do I not want to be part of that. Either way, it's done its job, right? It's a success. Because it is meant to help us to recognize and realize the specific things in the specific way that the Lord is doing on this corner. So that we can appreciate what he's doing because he's in our corner. And so that we can articulate what we're doing whenever we're cornered. And if we are going to spread authentic, joy-filled passion, our approach just can't be, it just can't be unnatural or contrived. It must be anchored in authenticity and flowing with genuine joy. And that's what we practice here on Sunday mornings. You see, Scripture wasn't written simply to be memorized and quoted. Mostly. It's written mostly to be modeled. And not on the surface, like a fashion model. That's what the Pharisees were doing. But put into action and lived out in the real world as a role model, with Jesus as our supermodel, supernatural model of intimacy with God and obedience to God and love for all God's children, lost and found. Because he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Because being imitators doesn't mean being imitations. Just think of a young boy imitating his dad. It means becoming the real thing by emulation, which means far more than merely looking the part. We are here to be transformed inside and out. I need an amen on that. We are here to be transformed.
Amen.
Yeah, inside and out. Into what Jesus would be if he were me. As a spouse, or parent, a kid, a student, a carpenter, a candy maker, a canoe inspector. I don't know if you knew I was all those things. But it is, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And the success of mental transforming and spiritual training and role modeling isn't measured by the size of a church. It is measured by how sincerely and completely we see with his eyes and serve with his hands and love with his heart and speak with his grace. That's what we are striving together to become individually. That's the shared goal. Not hiding from the world in our little dugout, you know? Spiritual subculture of our own fashioning, but engaging our secular culture in a relevant fashion. Because we're called to build bridges, not barriers. So, I tell you, the church on this corner, we make every effort to stay contemporary without compromising truth. This church has been on this corner for 40 years this April. How crazy is that? Applaud yourselves. That's just how the time do fly. I've been on this corner for 59, and I have witnessed so many transitions, transformations in the people, the approach, and the place itself, because substance should never be hindered by style. Here's an embarrassing photo. Talk about haircuts. Yeah, isn't that crazy? That believe it or not, that was in style. I'll bet. I'm spray painting the car parts in the center aisle about 15 feet from the back wall 46 years ago. This is what I see when I come in this church. This is through my eyes, if you could just see what transformation looks like. It's like, look what God has done. This is crazy. It's insane. And it's in my backyard. And this is why cultural relevance is so fundamental. Because I'm here to tell you, my substance would be greatly hindered by that hairstyle. Could you even imagine? Oh, my goodness. Oh, here's the thing. Jesus chose teenage apprentices. Had to, because he needed those willing to engage a corrupt culture and embrace a fallen people. And he said to him, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in my name to all nations, but beginning from Jerusalem, which was their backyard. It's got to start in your backyard. And he said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all throughout Samaria and to the end of the earth, which is our backyard. For true believers, isolating from the world is just as misguided as imitating it. Two extremes, both wrong, because we are called to embrace the people placed around us in and around Skagit Valley. We tend to think of the mission field as anywhere outside of our own zip code. But that's actually the exception to the rule. The rule is our mission field begins in our own home. And as any foreign missionary can tell you, the best missionary is always one of the natives to that land. And that's us, backyard missionaries. So open your eyes and look at the fields, Jesus urges and encourages his short-sighted disciples. They are ripe for harvest. You and I, we are called to the mission field that surrounds us. So please, open your eyes and recognize your significance on this corner of God's kingdom, which just happens to literally be my old backyard. You know, the point is, your mission field begins wherever genuine relationships grow, providing a natural setting to share your life, love, and faith. So open your eyes, because a Christian who doesn't care if others come to Christ is a contradiction. They are either complacent or compassionless or counterfeit or cowardly. So, and it's very common, so this is one of the things we link up to encourage one another to overcome. Because this is the character of this church on this corner of God's kingdom. And your corner is the center of your preordained mission field. And so as we read last Sunday, we urge you, brothers and sisters, to love each other more and more. You got to grow. You got to grow. And to make it your ambition, it's a process, so make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, i.e., you should mind your own business so that, with purpose, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. But inside, in your hearts, will you set apart Christ as Lord and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Scripture places such significance on our normal ordinary. But do you? Obviously, some missionaries are called to go. But if you weren't called to go, well, then I can guarantee you were called to stay. So let's stay put and put down our roots and stand together to show those around us the one who lives in us, right here in our own backyard. Because joining a church isn't about compensation or convenience. It's about a conviction to advance a kingdom. And there are countless approaches. And so the question is not, should I join a church? That's a yes. Yes, you absolutely should join a church. The real question is, am I a fit for the church on this corner? And I sure hope so. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you for making us members of your huge household. Holy Spirit, help us now to link up with like-minded believers in order to sink down our roots together. And Lord Jesus, we praise you, we'll sing to you, we thank you for all you're doing on this corner of your kingdom. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.